This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. At least two dozen 9/11 survivors are applying for victim compensation a day. New Haven is moving ahead with license plate readers. Big changes may be coming to Suffolk County's bus routes. Plus, there aren't any plans for large-scale data centers in Connecticut, according to the governor. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Twenty-five years have passed since the September 11th attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C., and every day, at least two dozen six survivors apply for victim compensation, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
The 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, or VCF, is a federally funded program that pays survivors who got sick from toxic exposure, or the families of those who died from 9/11-related illnesses. Allison Turkell is special master of the fund. She says more applications are coming in now than just a few years ago.
It means that those who worked or went to school in New York City exposure zone, that's the VCF's exposure zone, are becoming aware of us or becoming sick.
Turkell says the fund paid out almost $2 billion on 9,800 cases last year. To qualify for the fund, survivors must first get their illness certified by the World Trade Center Health Program. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Big changes may be coming to Suffolk County's bus routes. WSHU's Vic Pepe has more.
Suffolk County lawmakers are considering proposals to swap out multiple fixed-route buses for an on-demand zone system instead. On-demand is currently being used on the South Fork. Riders there can select a pickup and drop-off location within the boundaries of the zone on their phones. Then they're picked up within 15 to 25 minutes. Bus routes 56, 77, and 77Y would be replaced with the on-demand system, with a new zone being added in Ronkonkoma. The changes are planned to begin this fall if approved. Vic Pitby, WSHU News.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says cities and towns should hold off from using traffic cameras and license plate readers, but New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker says he's moving ahead with them. Elliker says the cameras help the city and its police keep up with crime on the roads.
There's a lot of dangerous driving in New Haven, and the reality is that we can only put up so many speed bumps. We can only have so many officers around the city making sure that people follow the traffic laws.
New Haven has more than half a dozen cameras ready to go, but not turned on yet, with more on the way. The cameras are not made by Flock, the most controversial company involved in the tech. Elliker says the city will safeguard drivers' data and not allow it to be shared with others. There are no plans for large-scale data centers in Connecticut, according to the governor. Plus, Connecticut approves nearly $2 billion for state projects. That and more is ahead. Stay here.
One piece of music, an entire universe around you. Hear Amy Beach's string quartet in one movement, while constellations from Arctic folklore move across the planetarium dome at Sound in the Stars First Night, a special fundraising event for WSHU. The Vista Quartet performs live with custom visuals created for the music. Our first two concerts sold out quickly, so we've added one more Friday, October 16th at 7 p.m. at the Discovery Science Center and Planetarium in Bridgeport. And when these tickets are gone, they're gone. Get yours and all the details at WSHU.org.
A small plane made an emergency landing in a field at Robert Moses State Park in Babylon. Officials say there were no injuries or damage. The field has been closed since Labor Day. The town of Greenwich is considering a new location for its long-delayed statue of former President George H.W. Bush, who was originally from Greenwich. The town's first selectman says it could go behind Town Hall. The statue is a $100,000 gift from a former local lawmaker. A federal jury ordered a Patch Hog home health care agency to pay more than $6 million to former employees. That includes pay for interruptions to their meal and sleep time and shifts of up to 16 hours at a time. The jury found the agency denied them years' worth of overtime and retaliated against them when they complained. Free speech is not thriving in Connecticut's college campuses, according to a study from the free speech organization FIRE. Only Yale University received a passing grade. Others, including UConn and Connecticut College, did not. Governor Ned Lamont says he's open to building IT infrastructure in Connecticut, but there's no place for massive data centers in the state. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Connecticut already has smaller data centers located throughout the state, but Lamont says a major data center would demand a large amount of electricity, which he worries could raise electric rates for residents. In 2021, the state opened tax incentives to new data centers. It's since pulled back after getting few takers. Lamont says proposals for new data centers in Connecticut would be subject to approvals.
One of these 1,500-acre big AI data centers, they're never going to be in Connecticut. We're the wrong place for that. You know, if somebody wants to do an enterprise, IT infrastructure at Cigna or someplace within their building for their own offices, of course.
Several years ago, the state offered a sales tax rebate for Cigna Healthcare to make improvements on its existing data center in Windsor. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Connecticut energy regulators say Optimum may have violated regional coverage regulations when it laid off dozens of employees at News 12. WSHU's Will Morgan reports.
In July, News 12 consolidated its divisions in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Connecticut, and Westchester County. They laid off 36 employees, including longstanding journalists and executives. The chair of PURA, the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, says the restructuring constitutes a major programming change, which, and Optimum should have given prior notice. PURA says the consolidation could reduce News 12's ability to deliver Connecticut-focused coverage, since they'd have to split it up among all the other regions within the same time slot. Optimum denies the charges, but the company says it's open to meeting with PURA to discuss the changes to the network. Will Morgan, WSHU News.
Connecticut has approved nearly $2 billion for state projects at a special state bond commission meeting ahead of November's general election. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Much of the state borrowing goes to highway construction, housing, and municipal aid, with about $600 million designated for new school construction. There's also about $125 million for a hardship protection program from the COVID-19 period that had previously been financed through the public benefit charge on electric bills. Democratic Governor Ned Lamont chairs the Bond Commission. He's seeking a third term in office this November. He says the state move will help reduce but not eliminate the public benefit charge on electric bills.
A lot of the public benefit charge is related to what used to be, the cost for paying nuclear power. You got to pay for your nuclear power. There's no way to eliminate that or disappear that. You may say I'm tired of doing energy efficiency, but that's a program that really saves people, potentially hundreds of dollars per month.
State Senator Ryan Fazio is Lamont's Republican challenger in the gubernatorial election. He's a member of the commission. He's made campaign promises to eliminate the public benefit charges.
A small portion of those programs can be right-sized and funded through our budget process, but almost all of them should be immediately or as soon as possible eliminated because they're mostly subsidies for private energy.
Fazio voted for the bond package. The $1.9 billion in approvals is more than half of the state's legally mandated borrowing cap for the year. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. Listeners' support is what makes everything we do here at WSHU possible, including this podcast. Since you value this community resource, please consider making a donation to WSHU today, and your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. Just visit WSHU.org, or you can call us if you prefer. The number is 800-777-9748. Thank you so much for your support and for tuning in today. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great evening.